God is a God who speaks. We see it from the very beginning in Genesis, where God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was. And throughout the Old Testament, I think 3,800 times or so, we see the Bible says, "God says," or "Thus says the Lord." And then you get into the New Testament, and Jesus is the Word of God, and He speaks. And the Bible in multiple places talks about the fact that God speaks to us. You fast forward all the way to Revelation, and Jesus is speaking there. Our God is one who speaks. He communicates. He's personal. And because of that, He has created us as His lone image bearers in the world to also be beings who communicate, or who should. So we were made for this. So why is it so hard sometimes to communicate with our spouses? And that's a bit of what we want to talk about today. What do we, what gets in the way, but also what can help us along the way? The first thing I want to highlight for you and let you know is that despite what our world says often about men and women being the same, we are not. We are not. We are absolutely equal in value and in worth and in importance in the eyes of God, and we should be in the eyes of one another. But we are not the same. We're different. Even down to, I understand, on a cellular level. I don't know if you ever saw this or not, but if you open your arms like this, men and women's arms are different. Our skeletal structures are different. Women's arms kind of go out to the side a little bit more than men's do. Everybody's looking at their arms right now. I know. We are just different. We're made up differently, and that is by design. That is by God's design. So what we need to do is understand and accept those differences along the way. So what I want to do is a very basic scripture. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man," meaning mankind, "in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." Male and female He created them. Very, very distinct right there from the beginning. Sorry, my headset's flopping here a little bit. So there's something clearly different in God creating us. And we say, yeah, well, duh, I know. Let's take a look at us. But do we really understand and accept those differences? Or do we pretty much expect our spouse to think and feel and act and kind of be pretty much like us, except with, you know, a different hairstyle and all that? So, do we really accept that? And I think that we need to honor the differences that we have as being from God, as part of His design, rather than shaking our heads and going, why doesn't He just think the way I do, or she the way I do? And so the way our spouse is formed is not wrong. It's just different. It's just different. And I want to make a few observations here. And they're generalizations, okay? And I also need to say at the outset, this is not from Scripture. This is from the sciences, all right? So I want to make that very clear, that nobody says, well, where chapter and verse are you going to find what you're going to say? You're probably not. I do want to highlight some things because I think they are accurate, however. And a number of things that I'm going to share today come out of this book called Communication, The Key to Your Marriage by H. Norman Wright. It's got some great insights in it. If you're looking for a book on marriage, this one would definitely help you. But the first thing I want to say is that we're going to look at a picture of the brain. Can we have that up here? And I don't know if you can see this or not, but over here, there's right brain functions. Those are where more creativity, more intuition, more a sense of overall thought, understanding of things. On the left side is more analytic, more logic, more linear thinking, if you will. You see a number of science and math and the other things that if you can see the screen clearly enough. How does that play into our way of thinking? Well, in general, and again, these are broad generalizations. We can find a lot of people that are somewhat different, but men tend to be more left brain linear thinkings. We go from A to B to C, you know, kind of in order in that way. We tend to open one file at a time. So that's why we can be working on the TV and then need to get a tool and walk right past six pairs of shoes, the laundry that needs to be folded, a kid who just lost an ear, and go, I'm going for the number two Phillips screwdriver because I got to fix the TV. That's the only file I have open, not the kid without an ear file. So I'm moving along the line here. And that comes out when we're talking about a subject. We don't want to jump around. We want to finish this subject. We want to tie a knot in it and then move on to the next subject. Well, that is different often between men and women. And so where that comes about also, or where that comes to effect, is that it's hard to get us off of our focus when we are dialed in. So if any of you have young men in your home who like to play video games, and you ask them, hey, take out the trash, or whatever the task is, you better stop them and look in their face, okay? Because they're totally dialed in. They don't have the trash file open. They have the I'm playing my video game file open. And so we need to step in and say, hold on a second, man. We need your focus right now. Men are often task-oriented fixers because of this. Wright, in his book, says, men are often not as able to do several things at once. They need to focus on one thing at a time. And when a man takes on a task at home, such as cleaning the garage or working in the yard, to him, it's a single-focused task. It's not a fellowship time. If his wife wants to work with him, she usually wants to carry on a conversation at the same time. To him, this may seem like an interruption, an invasion of his space, a distraction, and he reacts strongly to it. Millions, perhaps billions of conflicts over the years could have been avoided if men and women had not only understood this difference, but honored it. So, this comes out to me often, when I'm trying to work on something, I'm straining to try to turn something, twist it, and my wife says, you know, I was just wondering, how about if we do it this way? I'm like, oh no, I got to do it this way. You know, I'm focused on it. I'm trying to get it done. And I can't answer right now, honey. You know, I want a conversation about it. I just want to get this done. Clearly, that focus can be a strength. But as with anything, our strengths pushed too far become our weaknesses. Okay? So and that happens for both of us. So husbands, you and your wife come home and she starts to tell you about her day and what the kids have done at home or an issue that she had at work. And we go to, as Ray just said, fix it mode. We want the problems to go away. So before she gets her thoughts and her feelings out and discussed, and by the way, most of the time she's really not looking for us to fix it, but that's where we go. We think, oh, I know how this goes. Problem, talk, 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 answer. Let's save us a lot of energy, answer. What's for dinner, right? Well, I'll tell you what's for dinner. Hot tongue and cold shoulder. with a side of couch potatoes where you'll be sleeping. It doesn't work very well for us when we do that. Here's a couple of verses for us men. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. It would be far better if after we have listened for a while, we would simply ask our wives, do you want me to help on a solution in this, or would you prefer for me to just listen? And honestly, I want to ask, ladies, would that be helpful if guys were to ask that? Would, you know, in other words, if we would just say, do you want us to help fix anything, or do you want us to just listen? A few heads are shaking, so I'll take that at least from some of you. And ladies, you can help us as men when you say things like, I don't need you to fix anything, I just need you to hear me. I just need you to hear me. Or, I'm not mad at you, and I don't need you to do anything, I'm just venting. You know, I didn't even coach Ray and Luann up here, and they use all the same words that I have in here. My wife says, I don't need you to fix anything, I just need to tell you what's going on with me right now. See, then we can relax a little bit. We don't have to go into fix-it mode and do anything. We don't freak out like, oh, crud. I'm the problem. I got to fix this. And sometimes, husbands, what our wives would really like us to do is simply say, wow, sounds like you had a really hard day. Sometimes they even want a hug. But we really don't understand why that fixes anything anyway. But it's important. It's important. Women, on the other hand, are more holistic thinkers. So as men, we tend, you remember that picture up here of the brain? Men tend to work out of one side or the other of the brain at a time. And we don't have the connective tissue that our wives have. Women tend to be more holistic thinkers. They can access both sides of the brain easier. They have up to 40% more connective tissue between the sides of their brain. So they're able to do that easier than we are. And so she can juggle more items than we can. They're better, women are often better multitaskers than we are. But sometimes that comes with distraction too. Women can often be more perceptive than men about people, picking up on feelings or what people really mean. My wife has been very helpful to me in that over the years, and saying, you know, I think you need to maybe address this aspect of that relationship or something. That's helpful to me because she picks up on things that I don't. And guys, it would be great if we would listen to our wives in that regard and hear them. They are given to us by God as a blessing in that. She senses things. But that can be frustrating to us as guys. We go, how did she know that? Because there's this intuitiveness that she has. Multitasking can be easier. You think about the fact of a mom who's on the phone. She's got something that she's trying to cook or close the refrigerator door, and she's got a little one hanging on her leg like this. She's got all these things going on all at once, and she's able to handle it. Guys struggle with that a bit more. And clearly that can be a strength, but pushed too far, again, can be a weakness. All right, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to anyway, and then if you tell me I need to change it for the second service, I will. But even in lovemaking, women can have a list going on inside their head. Did I just hear something? I got to put green beans on that list. Oh, crud. You know what? The car needs the oil changed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, men have nothing like that going on inside their head. I just want you to know that. There's no other list. That's it. So you can tell me if that's over the top, okay? Women, you may be exasperated at times that your husband doesn't think and feel the way that you do, But give him the benefit of the doubt. He's not trying to be obstinate or thick, at least all the time. Or even, he's not simply wrong. He's simply created differently by God than you are. Titus 2, 3 to 5, Paul tells Titus to teach the older women how to live so that they in turn can teach the younger women how to love their husbands and children. If part of loving our husbands is understanding and accepting them rather than trying to change them. And certainly that is true for men as well. But if it's something that we have to train, then learning to love is also a skill. In other words, it's something you can learn, right? It's not just innate. It's not just a feeling. Well, how do some of these differences that we have, that was kind of on the thinking level, but how are the differences on a feeling level? Women often process feelings differently than men. So there's a process that they go through. They have feelings. They move to talking about those feelings and then thinking and processing through those feelings. So in other words, women tend to process out loud. They're talking about the problem or their thoughts, and it's going through their minds. Well, what does a man usually think? Oh, crud, she's talking about problems and feelings. Oh, crud, I caused them, you know. Or I should fix them, or she wants me to fix them. And that's not the case at all. Oftentimes, she's working through and thinking, and that's just how she's processing and working through them. Sometimes it's through venting, but as she is talking them out, as she does often with her friends, she's also hearing what she's saying, and it's a way of working through that. And many women, at least at first, simply want men to listen and know that they've been heard. I can't tell you how many people in counseling just simply want to be heard because they are not. So she's processing and seeking understanding. Men, on the other hand, go through a different process. So men process things with feelings and then action and then thinking. Talking is not part of the deal. You notice that? So when we get upset or have feelings, our first action is not to talk about it. Ray just mentioned, you know, okay, I gotta pull back here and think a little bit. Sometimes when we get really angry as guys, we go out in the garage and bang stuff around. Or, oh man, all these stories that come back to mind. First year we were married, and I was putting up the Christmas tree. And the Christmas tree fell over on me. And I'm like, boom, hole right through the wall in our first apartment, right underneath the Christmas tree. So fortunately, I didn't have, oh, so frustrated. My wife has never done that, ever, ever. Frustration. But guys act things out. So we go through a process when we think and we feel something and we try to do something, but then we think and we analyze. So what is it? Hey, I'm feeling something. What is it that I'm feeling? I mean, sometimes honestly it is that linear. What is it that I'm feeling? That's why sometimes guys get a list of feelings and they go, yeah, that right there. That is, ladies, is that like totally foreign to you? But guys, that's why we are slower in processing. It's not we're being obstinate. We just don't feel it right away, and we don't always know what we're feeling. Well, how do you feel about that? I don't know. It's true. We don't get it. We don't feel it right away. So. A few weeks ago, we had to put our old dog down, and we went into the vet, and the dog was 13 years old, and so my wife and my daughter and I go in, and as the dog is put down, we're there, we're holding the dog, my wife and my daughter immediately start crying. I mean, they're grieving, and even beforehand, they were crying, and Sherry Foster came in and saw my wife there and came over and gave her an empathetic hug, you know, just to show her. I was flatline, numb. I mean, I knew I was feeling something. It was down there. Something was rolling around. I didn't know what it was. And I had to wait until later to kind of think through, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? And then kind of process through. Now, part of that is my own stuff from growing up or my own past, but part of it is just I was focused on we got to do this, got to be strong for everybody and all that. So I didn't have much feeling there. Very different in how we processed. Generally, women try to express, they tend to express, men tend to resolve. Women tend to expand what they share, talking about details and things. Men tend to condense. You can spend a whole day with a guy doing a project. My wife come home, or I'll come home, my wife will say, well, how's his wife? How are his kids? How are things going? I don't know. Good, I guess. He didn't say anything. We got the thing painted. It was awesome. She'll spend 15 minutes with somebody and say, oh boy, this is going on. And this, I'm like, how do you get those details? That's amazing. We are just so different in how we process and think through stuff. And that is part of our design. That's part of how we are. Now, we have to learn, appreciate, understand, and accept that about each other, or we will be crazy frustrated with each other, right? We have to accept that and learn to appreciate one another's design. Okay, that was a gargantuanly long first point, all right? But understand and accept the differences in how God made you and your spouse. Number two, love requires good communication. So the Bible tells us in 1 John 4, verses 16 and 19, that God is love, and that we love because He first loved us. And Hebrews 1:2 says that while God has spoken to us through the prophets, in the last days He has spoken to us by His Son. And as believers, through the Holy Spirit, the very source of love lives within us. Can you imagine that? The very source of love lives within you and me. So we have the ability, because Christ lives in us, not innately, but because Christ lives, we have the ability, with God's help and only with God's help, to love each other the way that we need to love each other. That resides within us by how we are created in Christ. God spoke with grace and with mercy and with truth, and how He spoke to us is incredibly important. He spoke through us in love and in truth, and we need to do the same with each other. So Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we will all be built up, or we will all grow up into Christ. And the context there, I know, is the church providing people to speak and teach what is true and all, but it does apply to our marriages in that we need to speak the truth in love to one another, just like Ray said earlier. That's the very verse that he referred to in that, speaking the truth in love. And we have to do that with each other. Truth and love, both sides of that. Now, James chapter 3, I think it's verses 3 to 8. Yeah. Your tongue has incredible power. That whole section of scripture there says that how we use our tongues, how we communicate with our mouths, can turn the course of our whole lives and therefore our marriages as well. It's like a bit, he says, in a horse's mouth. Now, this part right here is the bit. This is the reins and the headgear, the bridle and all that. But that's the bit. Any 1,200-pound horse could stomp this into oblivion if it wanted to. But with this small thing, we can steer and move and train and lead a 1,200-pound animal with this thing that weighs way less than a pound. That's some significant power. James also talks to us about a ship's rudder and how that can steer a big ship. And then last, a spark. How a spark can set off a wildfire. I read this week of a 10-year-old boy set off a wildfire in California some years ago that scorched 38,000 acres, burned up 60 structures, displaced 15,000 people because he played with a match. If that's the picture that James gives us in James chapter 3, how we use our words, how we use our tongue, has that kind of power to change the entire course of your marriage and mine, either for good or for ill. That's some significant responsibility there. How we use our tongues. Sometimes we think, it's just words. Why are you so sensitive? Because it's got that kind of power to reach into our hearts. So we need to be really careful how we speak to one another in our marriages. I tell this to every premarital couple. Never call each other names. And I don't mean just dirty names. I also mean like lazy, good for nothing, come on, useless, you know. That stuff cuts to the heart. There are people that use that kind of stuff, and it's really painful. Proverbs 12:18 says that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In the New Living Translation, it says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Got the power to do one or the other, healing or cut, sword or building up. How will we use our words? Love strongly encourages us and leads us to good communication. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. You can take a look at that if you will. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. It's the love passage. If you've gone to a wedding in the last, 1,000 years, you've probably heard that passage along the way. But what would it be like if we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, and applied this to how we speak to one another? Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What if we spoke to one another with those kinds of words and encouraged one another? Love is kind. Proverbs 12:20-25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Sorry, that's about kindness. Proverbs 12:29, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Patience is a way of showing love. And sometimes that patience, men, is to sit and listen. And sometimes patience, ladies, is to realize, is to wait because our husbands haven't quite come along with understanding what their feelings are yet. And where they're at. It applies to both of us. If you want one source on the topic of communication, I encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. One source. 31 chapters, so read a chapter a day, and you will imbibe your life with the truth of good communication. One of the things we need to communicate is honor and value. I guess those two things really, but kind of go together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this. This is the New Living Translation. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. And then again, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So there is no call ever for us as men to be harsh with our wives. Ever. You will never find that in Scripture, where men are called and are encouraged ever to be harsh with their wives in words and certainly not physically. Ever. It's very clear here. It's never sanctioned. And our actions speak louder than words sometimes. That too is communication. We show love in many different ways, and we can show the opposite in many different ways. In the contemporary culture of 1 Peter, women were not treated as equals. Often they were not given social status or the rights of men, and of course, like today, they're physically not as strong. And so in those days, men were often harsh with women. And what Peter says here was quite countercultural, to say, they are your equals, men. They are your equals. Take the eternal view that the woman sitting next to you is your co-heir of the gracious gift of life. In other words, they are absolutely on par with you in the eyes of God, and so therefore should be with you as well. So we need to treat them right. She's a child of the Most High God, so treat her that way. Never a place for manhandling her or putting her in her place verbally, beating her down in any way. Because if we do, men, what does it say at the end of that verse? Your relationship, my relationship with God will be hindered. God's not going to say, oh, you know what, you're treating your wife poorly. Oh, but you're great with me. That's garbage. God says, no, you treat her right. And our prayers, nothing will hinder your prayers that way. So, on the other hand, ladies, Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord, thus showing him respect and honor, which certainly means how we talk to each other. So cutting, demeaning remarks is not wise. Here's a few verses. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. In Proverbs 21:19, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. We can use our words either way, can't we? Right? As men and women? We can hurt each other or we can build each other up. And the picture that we have of marriage as believers is Christ and His church in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved His church, and wives are to submit to their husbands, depicting the church's, our obedience to Christ, our love for Him in following His lead. It's not this subservient, beat-down kind of thing. It's, I love you. I want to follow you. And we should have, that's our picture. So let me just say too, for any of you who are not married and are desirous to be married someday, if you date somebody who is demeaning, talks poorly to you, is abusive to you in any way, don't get married to them. They need help. They need change before you need to move any farther in that relationship. as my wife says, run away like your hair's on fire, okay? She's just saying, save yourself the grief. So if those are some things we need to watch out and use our words for love, what are some final things? I want to finalize our point here with this. Good communication takes time and intention. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. Listening, communication takes time. Whether it's as you're falling into bed at night and you finally can have some time because your life is just crazy busy, or you've got to carve it out in some other way, you have to be intentional. It will always be easier to watch TV, to check why your phone pinged, to scroll through Facebook for an hour. It will always be easier to do those things. You have to fight for this. And the natural tendency for every marriage is drift. You take two boats, you put them on a pond, two little John boats. As long as everything's perfectly placid, they'll probably stay there right together. Take a few stones, you throw it in the pond, especially if you throw the stone between the two boats, and drift is going to happen. Just naturally, we start to move away. It takes intentionality to bring them back together. In my marriage, just last week, Patty and I had to have a talk. We've been getting irritated and annoyed with each other a little more lately. So, you know, where you start to play out those scenarios in your head about what you're going to say so that, you know, you don't lose the argument. I know I'm alone in that, but I'm just saying. Well, we had to have a talk. And as we were talking about what is going on, why are we this way right now? We realized that, you know, we haven't been intentional with time together for a while. I have Friday as my one day off, and we had typically, she had off, and we'd go to lunch, we'd spend time together, we'd walk through the aisles of Menards. That does count, by the way, as a date, okay? We would go for walks, and our walking trail takes about 2 hours, or it's 2 miles, it's 45 minutes. Time at which we could simply download stuff with each other. And then the summer hit, and the kids are home, and we're busy, and we're doing stuff, and she's working on Fridays, and I've had to work some extra hours, and all of a sudden, before you know it, we drift. And we're irritated with each other, and we're frustrated. And your life has those kinds of things too. And so what are you going to do about it? You know, you either take up drinking, or you binge watch Netflix, or you just grump and you go to your room, or what are you going to do? Those things don't help. What helps is saying, honey, we need to talk. Ain't nobody having fun right now. Come on, we got to talk about this. And then you do that. Paul Tournier said about listening and the importance of it, making time doing that. How beautiful, how grand and liberating this experience is when people learn to help each other. It is impossible to overemphasize the immense need humans have to be really listened to. Listen to all the conversations of our world, between nations as well as those between couples. They are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf. The trend today in many talk shows is to get a panel of people and talk over the top of everybody. You don't give each other the time to finish a thought, hardly, before someone else jumps in and they all talk. It's like a verbal dog pile. Have you noticed that? Whether it's ESPN or Fox or MSNBC, it doesn't matter. Everybody's jumping in on this stuff. It shouldn't be that way in our marriage. We need to take the time to hear each other out and to really listen, because if we do that, we can help one another. So here's a prescription. A relationship prescription. Daily check-in time. 5 minutes. Can you do 5 minutes? Can you put the phone down for 5 minutes and step away and do this? Ask each other, how are you feeling? For us guys, all the 5 minutes will go up and we'll go by while we're trying to figure it out. But how are you feeling? What's going on in our relationship? Is there any way I can help you? What's going well and what's not? Those are some questions. Take any one of those and take 5 minutes just to check in with each other. How about daily compliments? Every day, give one another one compliment at least. You're pretty. You're a hard worker. I appreciate how you play with the kids or the grandkids, how you take out the trash. Thank you for making dinner. Look for positives and say them. Make the point to do it. Third, pray together. Couples that pray together and play together, stay together, right? It's an old saying. It is really hard to honestly try to connect with God when you're resentful towards your spouse. There's something in that that drives us to say, I need to forgive you. I need to ask you for forgiveness. So you take your relationship together before God and just go to God. So many couples don't pray together. Pray about anything. Pray about praise, thanks for help, whatever it is. Pray together. Another couple things that I'll mention briefly. You can get into a small group. This book, Improving Communication in Your Marriage, is one of the small groups that we're going to offer after The Art of Marriage. It's 6 weeks. You can get with some other couples. You can go through it, talk through it as a couple yourself, and get together with a few other couples just to try to say, you know what, let's be more intentional with our communication. The Art of Marriage video conference we have coming up this weekend. Another good way to focus on it. We have a few spots left. If you want to do that, step out there and let us know at the Welcome Center that you are interested in that. But the whole point of all that is be intentional. Be intentional. We have to do that. God is a communicator. He's given us the ability to communicate and to do it in love with one another. You have the power to make a gargantuan difference, to change the whole course of your relationship by how you use your words. So let's use them to build up one another.